Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank all of our listening audience, and we want to thank all of our supporters who have continued to support this ministry. We want to thank every last one of you for helping us in our finances. Thank you so much for everything that all of you have done. And I just thank God for Brother T-Row. I want to thank the Lord for many other people who have sown seeds here. They have kept us on the air. God bless every last one of you. It is a blessing to know that there are people that will support a deliverance ministry. It's an honor to me to know you and for you to give into this ministry to keep this ministry afloat. We are an apostolic teaching, and I am going to be grateful to thank Brother Timothy Smith. I thank you so much. Brother Sammy Osley, Sister Candace Durden. I want to thank all of our supporters who have supported us and who continue to support us. And I'm trying to pull up all of the information on our brothers and sisters who helped us. I just want to say thank you to all of them, every last one of you. If I haven't named your name, please forgive me. I am trying to just thank all of you. And Brother Floyd, I want to thank you also. And I thank every last one of you. I have a big list, and I will be thanking everybody. But those who know who have given, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. All right, what we're going to do now is to bring a teaching. Now, when we start beginning to bring this, sorry about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. We come up against every demonic spirit, every principality, every force of darkness that would try to block this teaching. Lord, your words in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We bind all the forces of darkness, and we ask that the hearer can hear the understanding of the revelation knowledge of your word. Lord, use me as your oracle, and we ask that the Holy Spirit direct this teaching in Jesus of Nazareth's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, we say amen. All right, we're going to be dealing with our telethon coming now. And before we start this teaching, I want everyone to know that we do home exorcisms. We do paranormal investigations. We believe in casting out demons. We're in the ministry of exorcism. That is our main ministry, the deliverance ministry. We believe in healing. We believe in the Sabbath keeper. I do not recognize Sunday as an area of worship. God did not tell anybody to worship on no Sunday. But people still go through the traditions of their fathers. We are strictly scripturally based here. We are Sabbath keepers. We represent the Sabbath. Jesus rests on the Sabbath day. I'm not any denominational. I'm not about the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Catholics, the non-denomination, because they're in a lot of error. You have non-denominational churches that only speaks in tongues. That's it. And they interpret. No other gifts. Gone. Don't nobody cast out demons. Everybody's chasing money. And God tells us, seek not to become rich in Proverbs 23:4. So we basically stick to a lot of scriptures here and not get into entertaining people. So I'm not here to entertain anyone. I'm a teacher. I try to teach very simple because that's the simplicity of Christ. Christ taught simple, and he used parables to block out Satan's interference with mankind. Before we start in this telethon, we're going to deal with unforgiveness and the power to forgive others, because we can't get started. You can't even get any deliverance. You can't even pray to God if you got any unforgiveness in your heart with anybody. God can't hear that. He cannot hear your prayer. So this is going to be a long teaching. I'm going to give it to you in phases, about 50 minutes in each session, and we're going to go through every scripture in the Bible that I have studied, passing on to you. Let's begin with forgiving others. As scriptural evidence is assembled, it becomes crystal clear that unforgiveness comes with an enormous price tag. When pros and cons are laid side by side, anyone with a teachable spirit can see that unforgiveness is not worth the repercussions that it produces. Unforgiveness literally brings a curse. Now, if you don't have a teachable spirit, you're not going to hear it. Now, go to Matthew chapter 6, 9, and Matthew 6, 12. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Matthew 6, 9, and Matthew 6, 12. What are the debts for which we are to ask forgiveness? They are sin debts, and the wages of sin is death in Romans 6, 23. The debt is an unsurmountable, and the consequences of non-payment are unthinkable. Without Christ's forgiveness, we will stand before God's judgment seat, condemned to the everlasting death in the lake of fire, reserved for the devil and his angels. There is no possible way for any one of us to pay our sin debts. We can't do it. So when you don't forgive, you are blocking access to the person to get forgiveness by Jesus. Now, the Lord will forgive them, but you getting in the way, you're going to be judged by that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord in Romans 6:23. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Hebrews chapter 2, 4, and 5. So what you do is get in the way of all the benefits that God gives a person when they don't want to forgive. Jesus says by grace. The Bible tells us that we need grace in time of need. I know I need grace because there are some sins in my life that ain't too cool. Everybody got something that they're dealing with. Okay? Grace is needed in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. Grace gives us the provision to be protected even when we don't want to forgive nobody. Who are the debtors? Jesus expects us to forgive. They are those who have sinned against us. They have wronged us in one or more ways, rejecting, abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, psychological, and verbal, abandonment, betrayal, neglect, cruelty, cursing, deceit, slander, theft, and such others. For one to say that he has forgiven someone is to say that he has purged his heart from all bitterness. In effect, one says your debt is canceled. You owe me nothing, not even an apology. For God's perspective of forgiveness of sin is an act of grace, understanding favor, our forgetfulness, and our forgiveness of others is likewise an act of grace whereby we displayed or identified with God's perfect will. God the Father in heaven wants us to forgive. You can know that you have truly forgiven when you are able to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. That's very hard. I even have stumbling areas in certain areas with this. We all do because we're in a sinful nation, the Adamic nature of the second Adam, not Jesus of Nazareth, but the first Adam caused us to have these problems. Jesus is the second Adam. When we forgive those who trespass against us, we show our capacity and far more readiness to receive God's forgiveness. Therefore, we can pray, "Father, forgive us our debts as we henceforth forgive our debtors." By making the Lord's Prayer our daily prayers, we continually remind ourselves of the importance to use and the importance to us of God's forgiveness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3:23. The prayer also keeps us mindful of our needs to forgive others. The Lord's Prayer links God's forgiveness of our sins with our forgiveness of other sins. Each one of us needs to forgive because each of us has been offended at one time or another, to one degree or another. Some are continuously hurt and live in a constant likelihood of hurt. We have two choices in dealing with offenses. We can apply either law or grace. The law advocates an eye for an eye, doing to others as they do to us. and returning evil for evil. Grace, on the other hand, returns good for evil and bless those who curse us. Cursing those who curse us is an example of the law approach. Blessings those who are cursed us is an example of grace. In Christ, we are no longer to be governed by the law, but by grace. And if God given you this grace, who is for you to not give grace on another? In Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he weep. So if you sow compassion to a person, you will reap it back. If you sow discord to a person, you're going to reap it back. The world calls it boomerang. There's another word that's not biblical, but they use it, a comma. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. That's a worldly terminology of really sowing what you eat. The devil got a good way of fixing words in the world. That's why Jesus tells us, be in it, don't be of it. Go to Scripture and deal with the Scriptures. What difference does it make whether we react to hurts with law or grace? It makes a vast difference. When we respond in grace, then we have favor with God. We meet his merits, his blessings. If we respond in repulsive anger, then we give place to the devil and are brought into bondage. And a lot of Christians are in bondage because they won't forgive. Now, Christ used the Apostle Paul, who wrote 85% of the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Unforgiveness is a very serious yoke of bondage that people carry on them every day. Unforgiveness can open up a door to high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, heart attack, nervous disorder, unrest, overweight, gluttony, lust. It can open up all kinds of doors because you will not release another person's sin that has sinned upon you as God released it to you. So you're going to sow it back. And you can't, the human body can't sow back the forces of darkness. This is why you have to forgive people. What difference does it make whether we react to hurts or law or grace? It makes a vast difference. When we respond in grace, then we have favor of God. Now, how can you respond to grace when you don't forgive? You are out of the benefits of Christ. Now, guess who wants you to be there? The devil, Satan, Daimonion, Baphomet, Lord of Flies, Beelzebub, Prince of Darkness. He wants you under the law. Now you have opened a legal right for demons to attack you. You don't have the provision or the protection by God because you won't forgive. Now what you have done is placed yourself out of the kingdom of God because there are two kingdoms. In Matthew 12, 26 and 28 speaks of two kingdoms. Unforgiveness puts you in the kingdom of the enemy where bitterness can come up and come into you and cause bitterness, can spring up trouble at you. All kinds of doors of demonic spirits can operate when we don't forgive. Most people who don't forgive, you can look in their eyes are very stone. And look at them. They can't even look at you face, straight in the face. When you look, you see a mean connotation upon them. Those are demons. When you have a person that has unforgiveness, that's a stiff-necked spirit. The Bible speaks of a stiff-necked spirit. Unforgiveness opened up the door to a stiff-necked spirit. Let's look at that in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we're going to go to verse 51. The Bible says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did so. Well, how can a person resist the Holy Ghost when they have unforgiveness? Well, the Holy Ghost is the Godhead. It's not the Trinity. Don't get that Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There ain't no such thing as Trinity. That's theological terminology. Biblical terminology is the Godhead, Colossians 2:9. This same scripture is also in the Old Testament. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we're going to go to verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord. Now stiff-necked as your fathers were is a generational curse. Some of you may have a curse in your bloodline of unforgiveness. The mama don't forgive. the daddy don't forgive, or the cousin, uncle. You can see it in the bloodline. Boy, you act just like your daddy. He ain't forgave nobody. Don't let nobody speak a curse on that, because your life is hidden in Christ, according to Colossians 3:3. But when you come out of the will of God and open up yourself to unforgiveness, you are bringing a lot of problems with things that you can't see that will attack you, and they are demonic spirits. Notice here in Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8, it says, "Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fearness of his wrath may turn away from you." You cannot enter into the sanctuary with a stiff neck, which is the root of unforgiveness. It's impossible, and the devil knows that. So don't fall for it. Forgive people. When asked, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. We are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves if they're in Christ Jesus. Jesus summoned the whole law into one law of love, which came to be called Christ in Galatians 6:2. James referred to the law of love as the law of liberty in James chapter 1, verse 25. Forgiving love is liberating. It liberates us from many needless bondages. Join me in discovering this liberation benefit of forgiving others. Number one, the liberating benefits of forgiving others. Blaming others is bypassed. Even though your parents, spouse, former spouse, or others are responsible for the struggles you had in life, nothing is given by blaming them. It surely doesn't improve your present relationship and does nothing to heal, to resolve problems within yourself. Relationships is no longer a concern. It is not our business to punish others for their wrongdoing. This is God's problem, and he is big enough and wise enough to handle, in fact, God's problem. God tells us not to take matters of revenge into our own hands. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Romans 12:19. When you're trying to strike back at another, you're doing God's work. That's why you get a curse put on you like that. You ain't supposed to discipline somebody else when they do you wrong. Just forgive them. Look how many times the Lord forgave you in your foolishness. God forgave me over and over and over and over and over and over for 9 years on crack cocaine, on heroin, snorting. And I got out of the military, I was messed up. PTSD. I had a Russian adrenaline addiction. Just messed up. But guess what? Look at me now. But who gave me that right to be sitting here at 61 years old teaching when I was 35 years ago doing foolishness, crack cocaine? The Lord Jesus through his grace. This is why I can forgive others. Holding a grudge become a thing of the past. A grudge is what the Bible called malice. M-A-L-I-C-E. And malice is spite or active ill will towards another. When the Israelites kept the Passover, they miraculously removed all levels and leavened bread from their houses. Leaven represents sin, especially the kind of sin that is permeated like yeast and influence others. Therefore, God's word tells us to be though as removing malice from our lives as the Israel were in removing leaven from their house. Corinthians chapter 5, 7, and 8. Purge therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleashing bread of sincerity and truth. Notice what comes with malice. Look at the demons that come with malice. Emotional burdens are lifted when we release that hurt or unforgiveness to the Lord. Bitterness, anger, jealousy, and hurts are heavy burdens and can open up the door to demonic spirits. Negative impact amongst our emotions can definitely create demons. Behind every negative emotion, there are demons. So if you get unforgiveness and some anger in your heart and bitterness when you see someone did something to you, that anger going to build up, and that will open up the door to a demon. The demon says, this is my house. When an unclean spirit leaves, he said, I will return into my house, Luke 11, 23 and 24. Demons can really attack you when you don't forgive. You're opening a door to demonic spirits. We remain under the burden of the law, for the law requires an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Leviticus chapter 24, 20. Jesus made it possible for us to be free from the burdens of the law by providing an alternative burden of love, grace, and meekness and humility at Golgotha. Cursed is he who hangeth on a tree, Galatians 3:13. When Christ died, he made the provisions for all man. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's a benefit that Yeshua has given mankind. You cannot get in the way of that if God wants to forgive. So you got to forgive and really get yourself out the way. Come unto me, all that are laden and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Unforgiveness will not allow you to become peaceful. It becomes bondage. God tells us through his son, Jesus, by Apostle Paul, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, Galatians 5:1. So you can go back to bondage if you don't forgive. Amen? All right, physical healing results. There's a factual basis in saying he gives me pain in the neck. He makes me sick at my stomach. Now, you can say that to somebody. You are speaking sickness on you, thinking you're hurting somebody. Fed up with him. I'm sick and tired of him. Bitterness and hatred with their unforgiveness demons can make us sick physically. Therefore, do your physical body a favor by forgiving others. All who trespass against you, drop all resentment. Let it go. Refuse to take it in its physical toll or come upon your life. The consequences from allowing the root of bitterness to stay in your life is unforgiveness, recalling the hurts. The devil try to replay that hurt over and over. That's memory recall. And what he will try to do is to replay that accident over, that bitterness or whatever that person did to you wrong, and put it in your mind. Now, Ezekiel 38:10 says, thou shalt think an evil thought. And that evil thought that you think can open up the door to demons. Anger, hate, retaliation, physical infirmities such as migraine headaches, indigestion, ulcers, and arthritis. Some arthritis can come because of unforgiveness, and some become of sickness or some type of sin that you can do against your body. It should come as no surprise, and there are some arthritis, just natural arthritis. So you have to discern. You can't tell a person they got arthritis if the Holy Spirit did not tell you it's a demonic spirit. It cannot be a demonic spirit can be attached to arthritis, and also arthritis can be arthritis without a demonic spirit. This is why you have to have discernment. As no surprise that some arthritis is clear as a result of prolonged bitterness. The word arthritis, A-R-T-H-R-I-T-I-S, means joint inflammation. And the Bible compares the joints of our body with our relationship to others. Arthritis strikes the joints of the body, fingers, elbows, knees, and vertebrae. It connects links between various parts of the body affiliated with arthritis pain and swelling. As a consequence, the poison released up in that body brings bitterness, resentment. It produces destruction, also ulcers. Unforgiveness allows demons to build up the joints of human relationship with painful consequences. Love, forgiveness produces healing and restoration, but unforgiveness sets in motion the power of destruction. Love is necessary for having both a physical body and a healthy spiritual body. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, they form one body. So it is with Christ, so there should be no division in the body, but their parts should have equal concern for each other. NIV, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, 13, and 25. Speaking the truth in love, we will all things grow into harmony with Christ. When we harmonize with Christ, we eliminate bitterness. The church of the body of Christ, and in order to have strong functional body joints, must be healthy and working. The love that is distributed by the blood of Jesus bring a healing areas of all of our bodies and minds and soul and spirit. Only humans begin creating this incapable area of unforgiveness through demons. The high cost of unforgiveness. If you went to a grocery store to buy a loaf of bread and it had 99.99 price tag, what would you think? What would you do? Would you consider not agree to pay the price for the simple loaf of bread? You would protest. That's too much. So how will you react to the price of unforgiveness? Let's look into the Word of God and find out how much unforgiveness can cost a person. Unforgiveness robs us of God's forgiveness. Unforgiveness robs us of God's forgiveness. Ponder these words from the lips of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, you have blocked the power of God. Now, if you're born again Christian, Christians can get demon possessed, not possessed by the spirit, but possessed by the soul and mind. Not by the spirit, because the spirit is renewed when you accepted Christ. You remember in John chapter 3, Master, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God. The word rabbi means master. And Nicodemus asked Jesus, and Jesus said he was a teacher that came from God. But Jesus was telling him about salvation. A demon cannot affect the spirit, but it can affect the flesh and the fleshly mind and your soul. So the minute that you set up yourself to not forgive a person, you are blocking out the power of God from entering in you and from giving you healing. You ever see another thing that unforgiveness do? If you see people with unforgiveness, look at their ankles. They're always swollen. For some reason, demonic spirits go to the ankle. When people don't forgive, their swelling builds up around people's ankle, sometimes around their eyes, but mostly the ankles begin to swell. And I have seen this so many times dealing with doing exorcisms with unforgiving people that won't forgive. You can bend backwards for a person to ask them to forgive you. And guess what? If God sees your heart trying to ask them to give you mercy, God does not respond to people too well like that, because you're getting in the way of the person that's trying to get forgiven, and you are blocking. You allow the devil. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, don't give the devil no place. But unforgiveness gives the place to in your life to block you from all access of the benefits that Christ died at Golgotha. So it's not really worth it. You get in caught up in the moment of not forgiving a person. You get aroused by the emotional response of what's going on. At that time, you're not looking at the demons, because the demons don't want you to look at them. They're going to constantly tell you, go ahead on and keep standing bitter at that person. Look at that person. See that? See what that person did to you? And they keep shooting that, yakking that stuff in your ear. And if you don't cast down that thought, you're going to wind up being on the other end and not being able to have God to forgive you, because you won't forgive others. Don't forget that you do sow what you reap. As we said earlier in Galatians 6:9, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall reap everlasting life. Galatians 6:7, 8, 9, and 10. Go and study that. Because when you sow in your heart that you're not going to forgive, you just sown into the kingdom of darkness. Now, you 6-7 months and you ain't forgave nobody. I've seen people get mad at a person 8-9 months, and they keep building up that resentment, that keep building up, and it pulls them really far away from God. And what about if you die in that sin and go to hell? Hell is not made for humans. It's made for the devil and his angels. But you'll put yourself there if you don't forgive a person. Again, unforgiveness brings swelling in the ankles, tension, nervous disorder, inability to sleep, constantly being condemned by the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. You are not on the side of Christ because the shed blood has been cut off through your decision. You have a choice. In Revelation 22:11, the word says, he that wishes to be righteous, let him be righteous, and he that wishes to be evil, let him be evil still. So you must forgive. You have no other choice. One forgiven is now restrained. The servant who received grace and mercy then shows no grace and mercy must remain under the power of tormentors until the debt is paid in full. What a price. So here you go with your pride, your stiff neck, your stubbornness, and you won't forgive. All that's building up. You know what's sustaining you while you're not forgiven? God's grace. That's the only thing that's holding you up. But what about if God take his hand? I don't know. God said, my ways are not your ways, neither my thought yours. Isaiah 55:8. I don't know when God going to, I don't know how long he'll be. Don't tempt God. God sent his son for you to die, and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and yet you won't, no one forgive nobody when people are forgiving you. Most times, most people that don't have this area of forgiveness in their life is a lack of understanding of Scripture. Hosea 4:6, Isaiah 5:11 says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Get into the Word of God and find out what God says about forgiving, because you will bring yourself turned over to the tormentors. Because you're not in the kingdom of God, you are blocking. I'm not going to forgive somebody. Now, you're going to go ask the Lord to pay your light bill. Lord, I need some help. And don't even think about going and asking God for nothing, because he's not going to respond. Let me show you something, because the devil is not going to let you know this. Let me show you something. God is not going to respond when you don't forgive people. You only hurt yourself. The word says in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Watch this. That it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But anytime you see the word but in the Bible, it's a conjunction. It's something else to go with it. Here's the problem. But your iniquities, that's your own sin. So you are the type of person that you're not going to forgive. You're going to stay bitter at this person. Your own sin is going to be on you. It can't be released. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from among you. Watch this. That he will not hear. 6-7 months, you still have unforgiveness in your heart. You asking the Lord, and you're going to church, and you're listening to your pastor. You ain't even submitting to your husband. But you're going to church. You're jumping up and down, talking about you blessed and highly favored. But you got unforgiveness in your heart with somebody. But only one person knows the Lord, because he knows everything in your mind, Ezekiel 11:5. He knows everything in your mind. And you up here talking about hallelujah, and you being a fool being used by the devil because you won't release. And you thinking you got the upper edge, you hurting somebody. You're only hurting yourself because you're sowing that back. You have to weep it. Like I said, the world call it karma. I don't call it karma. I call it sowing and weeping. It is amazing how the world can pick up of scriptures and turn that terminology and leave out everything else, but just say karma, it comes back. No, it's called sowing and weeping. And when you don't forgive a person, here you are in your heart 7, 8, 9 months. That's on you. Person try to call you, you hang up. You ain't doing hurting yourself. And guess what? That other person's going to get blessed because they're trying to reach out to get forgiveness. Now, you're going to go to church and jump up and down and get the money coming and all this old crazy foolishness, and you still mad at somebody and you expect God to bless you. Even if you tithe and you got unforgiveness, he can't bless you. He don't even want your tithe. God don't want your tithe, but the Creflo dollars and the money coming, money coming. They ain't going to say this. They about taking your wallet, okay? But check this out before we close, because the devil's going to make you out of a fool if you don't forgive. You're the one who's going to suffer. You. Don't you love yourself? Let's look at this. In Matthew 5:25, the word says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remain that remindest that thy brother have an ought against thee, watch this, leave there thy gifts before the altar. God don't want your gifts. He said, leave it, and go thy way first. You see, you can't get it right till you get it right with mankind. Because you're breaking the law of God through his son Jesus. You're preventing a person from accepting the benefits of the Christ and forgiving the shed blood of Jesus because of your betrayal to Christ. You betray Christ when you choose not to forgive. You're betraying Christ. But yet you say you're a Christian. Why would you betray Christ? What prevents us not betraying Christ? By doing what Christ tells us. So Christ tells us in red writing in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gifts to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have an ought against thee, the word of God tells us, leave there thy gifts before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Then you come to the Lord. That's how it works. Do not let the devil deceive you thinking that you're going to get away with it because you only hurt yourself. Unforgiveness shuts God's ears to our prayers. Let me say this again. Unforgiveness shuts God's ear to our prayers. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have an ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11:24-25. Two conditions to answered prayer are set forth in the above scripture. For one must have faith in God. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Second, one must forgive an ought against any. And most people can't get to this second one. And then they get mad at God and worry about, well, God, I don't want to be a Christian. I'm tired of this. This ain't work. Where's you? It's not God. In Matthew 18, in the instructions of his teaching on forgiveness, Jesus says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth and touching anything, they shall ask and shall be given for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For example, a husband and wife are in destitute due to some offenses. Their prayers are hindered. 1 Peter 3:7, God will not give them the things they agree upon, and neither will he be in the midst of them with unforgiveness. How many times have we been frustrated in our prayers and even felt angry toward God? You can't be mad at God. It's you, because you won't forgive, because you have prayed and prayed without a response from the above. You should check and ask yourself, why God is not hearing my prayer? Why is he not hearing my prayer? Because you won't forgive. Now, the minute you release that prayer, you got to forgive that person on earth. Jesus don't want nothing that you got to give him. It's that simple. I've seen so many people in the ministry of deliverance won't forgive. I met a husband and a wife. The man was so messed up and distraught mentally and spiritually. He was smoking 3, 4, 5 cigarettes every 30 minutes. And I went outside and talked to her. He said, my wife just holds this against me. And she's been holding it against me for so many years. And the Lord began to tell me, look at her ankles. I see them swollen ankles. I said, oh, Lord. Now, not all swollen ankles. You have to discern from the Holy Spirit. But I guarantee you, 85% of people who don't forgive, their ankles are swollen. Just look at their ankles. That's all you got to do. You'll see the swelling. That bitterness is going down, and them demons are working to start from the ankles all the way to the body to destroy you. So you only hurt yourself. Unforgiveness shuts God's ears to our prayers. Unforgiveness rouses God to turn us over to the tormentors, and it blocks our deliverance from evil spirits. And his Lord was wroth with the unforgiving servant, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. You got to forgive people, everybody. The Lord said, I will turn you over to tormentors. See, a lot of people don't teach that part of unforgiveness. Why? They don't want to deal with demons. The tormentors are demonic spirits. So if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, I guarantee you, you need some deliverance yourself from evil spirits. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to pick back up with unforgiveness tomorrow. Also tonight, I'm going to come back on. We are doing our telethon. We are now raising money. This is our quarterly telethon. We ask that you sow a seed here at www.livedeliverance.com. We are in our Blog Talk room right now. You can come join us. It's a telephone number only for the broadcast, not my personal number. Please, not my personal number. I have people, I'm not giving out my personal number because I have to have some rest. But you can call in at 646-378-1857, and you can hit option number 1 for question and answers. We want to thank every last one of you. I pray to God that this message has been a blessing to you. I want to give it to you short and simple and compact, very easy to understand. Get yourself free so that you can be blessed by God. Forgive others. Again, go to www.livedeliverance.com. On the lower left-hand side, we have a secure PayPal site, and sow a seed and help us to keep us on air. God bless you and shalom. We're about to get ready to come back into the room. We want to thank those who listen to us here again at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're going to go back to regular broadcast with Pastor V.T. Williams out of Kingston, Jamaica. We're going back on live broadcast. You can come join us in our Blog Talk room. Thank you. All right, Chaplain John Durden, you now have the mic.
Good evening, my brother. I enjoyed the session tonight. And I think what really hit me was your last topic on unforgiveness, because that was a burden for me many, many, many years. But I'd just like to sum up by saying that I enjoyed it, and that unforgiveness, and from my point of view and belief, I believe truly that unforgiveness opens the door for tormenting spirits. And we all know that from my experience now. Bitterness opens the door for spirits of infirmity. They also is including arthritis and cancer. And you know, I read, I said, man, I just got through reading it a couple of weeks ago, and I flipped through the pages. And sure enough, and I got a little paragraph that says this: unforgiveness opens the door for tormenting spirits. And you find it in Matthew 18. Bitterness opens the door for spirits of infirmity, including, y'all, including arthritis and cancer. It is symbolized by gall and worm. Forgiveness is the result of being what? Hurt, rejected, abandoned, disappointed, abused, raped, molested, taken advantage of, lied on, and cheated. These are the kinds of things. And I'd like to share this little prayer right here. It says, like when I was talking about unforgiveness, it says, Father, in Jesus' name, I have loosed myself from all bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment. I loose to God those who have offended me or hurt me in any way. I loose myself from all spirits of infirmity as a result of my bitterness, and I close the door in Jesus' name. That's a miracle. It just so happened, I didn't know you were going to end the session talking about unforgiveness, and that was what I was reading on. God bless you, man. God knows what's going on. Amen and amen.
God bless everyone, and have a wonderful day.